Hi, this is Wyatt Cox. Each and every day, the USA Radio Network produces 3 hours of the greatest radio programs of all time. Comedies, drama, suspense, it's all there. Classic radio theater. Now, if your radio station doesn't carry the program, you can find them anywhere podcasts are served, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker. Just search for USA Classic Radio Theater. Find it. USA Classic Radio Theater. You'll love it.
Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt says he's lifting all COVID-19 restrictions in the state.
There will be no statewide restrictions on events or Oklahomans. I'm also removing the requirements to wear a mask in state buildings.
The Republican governor making the announcement on Thursday, saying though people are encouraged to wear a mask depending on their circumstances. He also reminds everyone,
COVID is still here, still in Oklahoma, it's still in the United States, and we still need to do our part. You can still, and you're even encouraged to wear a mask depending on your circumstances.
On Wednesday, the Senate confirmed Judge Merrick Garland as Attorney General on a bipartisan vote of 70 to 30. On Thursday, the new AG had this to say.
All of us are united by our commitment to the rule of law and to seeking equal justice under law. We are united by our commitment to protecting our country, as our oath says, from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and by our commitment to enforcing our country's laws and to ensuring the civil rights and the civil liberties of our people. The only way we can succeed and retain the trust of the American people is to adhere to the norms that have become part of the DNA of every Justice Department employee.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Welcome to a brand new season of In the Paint, talking New Orleans Pelicans basketball all season. And now, let's go live to the world-famous R&O's restaurant on Old Hammond Highway in historic Bucktown with your host, WGSO radio personality, Mitch Gibbs.
All right, welcome to another edition of In the Paint. We're live here as we are every Thursday at lunchtime, our matinee show here in Bucktown, historic Bucktown, here on Old Hammond Highway, right on the South Shore, right on the doorstep of Lake Pontchartrain, on a very balmy, warm, unusually warm March afternoon here on a Thursday afternoon. But we are, as we say, every Thursday live here at lunchtime from 1 to 2 p.m. talking basketball, talking Pelicans basketball, also talking college basketball here at Arno's Restaurant. On Old Hammond Highway in Bucktown, Louisiana, on the South Shore. We said right on the doorstep of Lake Pontchartrain. Yeah, we can take calls in the first segment. If you have a question or comment, 556-9696, 556-9696. We've got in the next three segments, Yaron Weitzman, the NBA writer, will be on with us next. Gary Smith with The Advocate and Glenn Gilbo with Gannett USA. We'll talk Pelicans basketball. We'll talk LSU and UNO as well. This is March Madness, but we want you to come down here. They're open for lunch for one more hour. Great crowd here, as there always is here at the world-famous Arno's Restaurant. They have, maybe the best roast beef po' boy. My buddy UJ, one of the owners here, says it is the best by far. And I had one last week. It's incredible. And also, I just had a little cup of seafood gumbo, which is fantastic as well. Their pizzas are great. You can build your own pizza. They've got soft shell crab po' boy. They've got fries. They've got onion rings. I had a chicken parmesan a couple of weeks ago. Everything really good here. You can put the meatball on the pizza. They've got all these different toppings you can use. So you got to come on down here. They're open until 2 p.m. They're not open on Monday and Tuesday. That's their weekend. But every other day, they're open. And the food is incredible here, so you got to come on down. But we are in March Madness, so that means college basketball. The NBA is coming off a hiatus, the All-Star. We don't really like to talk a lot about the All-Star break because, that's you know, All-Star weekend, which was very minimal because of the COVID issue, and they did have an All-Star game. The good thing, of course, Zion Williamson got to participate, so that's a great thing for the Pelicans. Pelicans had lost two in a row going into the All-Star break, so they have not played for a week or so. They're going to come back and play tomorrow, and let's see if they can get their act together. But they are 15-21, so they end up six games behind 500 halfway through the season, because remember, there's only going to be 72 games this year. We have an abbreviated season, so 36 is half of 72, obviously. I did well in math, of course. So they got to get their act together to get into a situation where they could even be in a play-in situation if they're not in the top eight, possibly get in the NBA playoffs. But it's going to be tough, so they really have to get things going. We're going to talk to our guests about that. I think the issues, and I've said this before with the Pelicans, are they've got to be better on their perimeter defense, guarding the three-point shot. They had a sequence, a few games where they two straight games, they gave them 25 three-point shots, and you can't win games like that, and they're still running a deficit of about six less three-point shots made per game. That's 18 points you got to make up. That's a really difficult deficit to make up. So they got to improve in that area. They're not shooting the three very well. They're around 30% from three. Their free throw shooting is in the 70s. That's not good as well. So that's the things they really need to improve on are perimeter shooting, obviously, perimeter defense. They have to improve on their free throw shooting. And that's the way it has to happen. Now, the question is this the roster that will finish the season, or is there going to be a trade? Because the trade deadline is coming up this month. There was talk initially about Lonzo Ball being moved. Now you're hearing Lonzo Ball will not be traded. You're also hearing about J.J. Redick and Eric Bledsoe. Now, those are the two names that keep popping up. And I thought that the last couple of games that J.J. Redick played fairly well, which was a good showcase if you're going to try to get anything of value for him, because you think about it, teams that are trying to make that push, whether to get in the playoffs or make a big run in the playoffs, and they might be missing one piece, and they're always looking for that piece. And obviously, in a league that's become, in my opinion, the dominance of the three-point shot, a guy like J.J. Redick, who's one of the best three-point shooters maybe in NBA history, he probably will go down as that, possibly would be available if they make a trade. So I would not trade J.J. Redick unless I get some value at least for him, because I think he is valuable. He's a little bit of a liability on defense, but what you're going to do is you're going to use this guy's going to be a situational player for you. You're going to bring him in when you need three-point baskets. Because you know he's not known for his defense. So I think that's what the selling point. Eric Bledsoe, a solid defensive guard, rebounding kind of guard. He's a possibility to move him as well. Because those are two guys I don't think are going to be in the roster next year anyway. So why not move them? I still think they should consider trading Lonzo Ball, because I don't know if Lonzo Ball is going to stay here down the road. He has played well at times. He's been streaky. He's had some struggles at the three, shooting the three-point ball. But then in some games where they've won, he's been great. He's played very well. And I think that, you sell, if you want to trade him, you sell the fact that look at the games where he's been pretty good. My problem with him is his defense has been somewhat suspect this season, and that makes it a little bit more difficult. But I think most NBA teams that are trying to make a run to the playoffs are looking for offense and not defense. So that's how I think you sell J.J. Redick. But we're going to talk with our and also with Lonzo Ball. But we're going to talk more about with our guests about that, those topics. Also, LSU waiting to find out whether they're going to play Ole Miss or South Carolina in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament. They will be playing tomorrow, so they're waiting on that. And I think LSU's in the tournament, but LSU is trying to play for seeding at this point. And if LSU does not make a run in this SEC tournament, let's say they win their first game, which they should win, whether it's Ole Miss or South Carolina, and they lose in the semifinals to Arkansas, who would be on their side of the draw, then I think they don't really move up. They stay like an 8 seed. And that means that in the assuming you win your first round game, you got to play a 1 seed, whoever that 1 seed may be, in the second round. And you don't want to play Gonzaga, and I think Baylor's the second best team. And then you got to look at Michigan and Illinois maybe being the other two top seeds, depending on all these conference tournaments shake out, because we're all into that stuff. So we'll see how that goes with LSU. UNO won their first game, but they got to win three more games to get an invitation to the big dance because, you know, obviously very mediocre season, so they need an automatic bid. So UNO needs to win three more. They won their first game against Southeastern Louisiana. They're playing this evening, game two. But it's tough to win four games in four straight days. So really, that would be impressive if UNO could pull that off. We're pulling for them, of course, like I said, because UNO needs to win all four games, one down, three to go, to get in the tournament. LSU's in. Question is where their seeding would be based upon. Now, if LSU gets to the finals or wins the SEC tournament, LSU moves up and could end up being like a six seed, maybe. You don't want to be an eight or six. You want to be like a five or six. Then you don't have to face one or two to the Sweet 16. And then you get your feet wet. You play two games, so that's important. All right, and then we want to mention the Players Championship at Sawgrass, TPC Sawgrass. They're letting about 20% of the people in. I saw Sergio Garcia made an eagle putt to take the lead at 7-under the first round. But there's a long way to go. The first day is just you could play yourself out of the tournament, but you don't win the tournament on the first day. But we got a lot to talk about. We'll be back with more of our great guests. We're live here all the way till 2 p.m. here at Arno's, famous historic Bucktown here on Old Hammond Highway. We'll be back with more In the Paint Live right after these messages.
Before you pay that other pest control company their, quote, home of the $650 termite treatment protection plan, call DA. I'm Jed Derensburg with DA Exterminating, and I bet we can beat that price. We offer different treatment methods featuring the Centricon bait system, and we have one of the best termite protection plans in the country. Before you pay $650 to another company, call DA. New Orleans metro area, North Shore, and Houma. DA Exterminating, complete pest and termite control services since 1959. Call 800-650-PEST.
Are you suffering from neck and back pain due to a recent auto accident? Did you go to the ER only to have them tell you that nothing is wrong? Dr. Steven Tremuda with Doctors Rehab Services is here to help. Chiropractic care is considered one of the best remedies for whiplash and soft tissue injuries. With three metro area locations in Kenner, Mid-City, and the West Bank, Dr. Tremuda makes it easy to start your road to recovery. For more info or a free consultation, call Dr. Tremuda at 504-465-5353.
Hi, Saints fans. Mark Roeming, voice of the New Orleans Saints here, and it's official. NOLA Lending Group, a division of Fidelity Bank, is now the proud mortgage lender of your New Orleans Saints. So if you're buying a home or refinancing your existing home, let Southeast Louisiana's local mortgage experts give you the home field advantage. NOLA Lending Group, now the proud mortgage lender of your New Orleans Saints.
NOLA Lending, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC, NMLS number 488639.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans. The Great Southern Gun and Knife Show is coming for 2 days only, March 13th and 14th at the Punch Train Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun books, camouflage, jewelry, and more. That's the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, March 13th and 14th at the Punch Train Center. Show hours 9 to 5 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. Don't miss it.
Hi, I'm Mitch Gibbs, and I want to tell you about a great service. Accardo and Lambert Plumbing, 8303 Willow Street in the heart of Uptown New Orleans, 504-866-7162. They've been in the business for over 30 years. They're fully licensed. They'll provide all your gas and plumbing needs. In most cases, same-day service. In addition, they're accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Accardo and Lambert Plumbing, 866-7162. I consider myself a customer.
All right, we are back. Let's get to our first guest here, but I remind everybody we're live here at Arno's in historic Bucktown. Great food here. They're open till 2 p.m. for lunch. We're here every Thursday for matinee 1 to 2 p.m., so come on by. We'll be back here next Thursday as well. My first guest been on with us a couple of times already this season, and he'll be on more as well as we go all the way through May. NBA writer Yaron Weitzman. Yaron, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Hey, so thanks for being with us again today. And so we get a little bit of a break, and we resume with the NBA after the All-Star break. And the Pelicans had lost two in a row going into the break, 15 and 21. So, you know, issues obviously defensively. Talked about in the intro, the three-point shot. They've struggled shooting it and defending it as well. Also, free throw shooting hurt them. in their last couple of games before the All-Star break. Zion didn't play in the last game, but the game before that he only shot 50% from the free throw line, and then he was a participant in the NBA All-Star game. But so you got this is the roster you got right now. We got a trade deadline coming up. Do you think that the Pelicans will make any moves before the deadline? I know suddenly I'm hearing Lonzo Ball is not going to be moved, and that leaves Bledsoe and J.J. Redick. So I want to get your thoughts on if there's a possibility that we're going to see any additions or subtractions for the Pelicans, or this will be the roster through the rest of the season.
Everyone knows, you know, J.J. Redick is probably a guy that all contenders are going to be looking at, and he clearly does not fit the Pelicans timetable, and given where they are in the standings, I mean, I'm sure they would recognize that they are the season. I guess they can try to sneak into the play-in tournament, but the season has not gone as planned for them. They are building toward the future. I would be surprised if J.J. Redick's on the team after the trade deadline, right? There are plenty of contenders who could use a player like him. It just could be a win-win situation. Bledsoe's different. I mean, he was in trade rumors. People were saying he was on the market. He looked great recently, though. He's shooting fantastic. And if he's hitting jump shots, if he's playing, shooting the way he has and playing the way he has, he is an ideal complementary piece to put around Zion Williamson, especially if you're playing sort of this point Zion thing that Stan Van Gundy has embraced. Lonzo Ball is sort of a, you know, point guard on fast breaks, but in a half court, not a point guard. And that is the ideal type of fit to play for a backcourt guy next to Zion. So that's one of the more interesting situations, kind of monitoring whether they feel like they can sign him long-term. If they don't, whether they will trade him. I don't think they'll be trading him before the deadline. The other guys, I would not be shocked.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lonzo Ball is played well. It's a game-by-game thing with him. Sometimes he looks great. And then he does the 1-for-10 from three, and he can be a little bit of a liability. His defense has been kind of up and down as well. But when he has a really big game, that's when you want to think about maybe moving him. But I get the impression that they're satisfied with it. But can they get value for J.J. Redick? I mean, he looked great. There was a game the other night where he was like 9-for-15 from the field. He was like 50% from three. Do you think they can get any value with J.J. Redick, though?
I would say, like, define value, right? Like, you're not going to get a starter for him, I don't think. If you're them, you're going to try to get, you know, a young player or some sort of pick, right? Maybe teams aren't going to give up. Let's make up a team. The Sixers aren't going to give up Maxey, who they drafted 20th overall and they see as a potential future starting point guard for J.J. Redick, right? That's not going to happen. But if you're the Pelicans, you say, hey, we're going to lose J.J. Redick this offseason anyway. He's not playing with us. Let's see if we can get something for him. So it's worth it. So it depends, like, what your definition of value. I would say, you know, better to have something than nothing with him.
Well, I was going to ask you, can you throw in a draft choice? I mean, they've got those picks still, right? Those Lakers draft choices that, to me, are not real unless you just get lucky. And, you know, there's every once in a while you find one of these guys in late in the first round, the second round, but it's hard, really hard. I talk to a lot of people, you know, that, you know, they're not, you know, NBA experts, but they're always asking me, what are we doing with all these picks? So is that a possibility that they could kind of, you know, put Redick in a little package or something and
the picks are going to be saved. Like, they're going to save the picks for when they go star hunting, right? Either if next guy comes on the market, if somebody wants to come play with Zion and Brandon Ingram, that's what I expect the picks to be used for, to kind of get that missing piece. Or if Lonzo Ball, if they end up re-signing him and he continues to improve and progress and they want to get, you know, a guy, a two-guard to slot next to him or whatever, it's not going to be the kind of thing they package with J.J. Redick to get a seventh man here or whatever it would be, right? That's not their goal.
Well, the other one I asked you, too, is, you know, we talked the last few years about the big markets versus the mid-market teams, and I bring this up to you because San Antonio looks like they're almost like in a complete rebuilding mode. Now they're going to let LaMarcus Aldridge go, and so I'm worried, you know, from a Pelicans perspective. I know they've done a lot of different things to try to keep these high draft picks on a team, so they try to save these mid-market. But anytime a guy want, you know, a big name guy wants to leave, they're always talking about the big market teams going to. So where do we stand with that? Are you concerned that San Antonio will be with the demise? I guess you could argue of San Antonio that we're not going to have a mid-market super team in a long time.
San Antonio, they're actually, they're, what, 18-14? This is more of a basketball decision for them, right? Aldridge just didn't fit there better with him not on the court. He wasn't fitting their style. They actually were performing better with him, without him. So that's what led to that. Yeah, the 18-15 in seventh place. New Orleans, you got Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram both signed, right? That's a huge thing. Zion especially is a big one. So, yeah, I know that sometimes the ticking clock happens. But you have a while before that. So I'm not worried too much about the mid-market thing. Utah's really good. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's hard to, you won't get the guys to re-sign when they're 29, but that gives you a long, long runway there. Giannis, by the way, is another example of somebody who just re-signed in the mid-market and Milwaukee's like, okay, and things like that. So I don't worry too much about that.
Well, yeah, actually Utah would be an exception, and I really am pulling for Utah because I'd like to – let's see if they can do it in the playoffs. That's the key. If they can make the big run and be the team in the playoffs, that would be huge, I think, for the smaller market teams. We'll see how that goes. Any other thoughts about where we are right now? What do you expect to see in the second half of the season? You know, not only with the Pelicans, but in general, any teams that – like underdogs, dark horses you see that could make big runs, get in the playoffs, and maybe be dangerous in the playoffs?
In the West, I'm fascinated to see how Phoenix continues here. If they hold on and keep playing this level, I'm curious to see what Portland looks like when CJ McCollum comes back, and if Denver, who right now they're in sixth place, six games back of first, if they have a run in them, that with Jamal Murray now playing better, and Jokic is one of the best players in the league and MVP candidate. I'm curious to see if, in 2 months we see they won 15 out of 20 games or something like that, and they're up in the two or three seed.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, how those – yeah, because I would love to see also some – well, I don't know if we thought Miami would be in the NBA Finals last year, so that was a little bit of a surprise, I guess. Because we thought it was going to be maybe Celtics, Lakers, Celtics, Clippers. And the Celtics have struggled a little bit as well. And where do you think that Aldridge ends up? I think I'm leaning towards Golden State, but I hear the Celtics are in the mix as well. So what are your thoughts on that?
That's a good question. I don't know how much it matters. He's okay. It's a tough fit. He's a tough fit with some of these teams. The Celtics, obviously, anytime you have a good team that is really, really thin, especially up front in the front court. So that's obviously – that's an obvious – match right there. To be honest, I'm not really sure. I just happened. I don't know. I don't know. There's going to be how much they'll be pining for LaMarcus Aldridge, or if he's. I don't view him as the kind of guy who could be a difference maker. Maybe I'm wrong on that one, but I guess the Celtics would be the front runner.
I guess he's just a guy. Which when I said the beginning of the show, I said that most teams that are looking for players are generally looking more for an offensive player than a defensive player to get him over the top. And he's a guy. He's a scorer, but he's getting older, right? He's had injury issues. But that's where J.J. Redick, another example of a guy who's not a little suspect on defense, but he can hit 3-point shots in a league that's pretty much dominated by the 3-point shot. So I think that's where the focus always is. You're looking for that offensive guy that can give you the points off the bench. I guess that's what you look for before the trade deadline.
For sure. And I would say Redick offers. I would admit, you have to give something up for Redick. That's the difference. Where Aldridge, it could just be a buyout, I guess, if no trade happens. Let's see about the trade. It depends on your team. It's Redick, I'm not going to say he has more value, just his type of play. If you're a contending team and you need to plug somebody in as your seventh man who can make your stars better because they have so much gravity and they attract so much attention on defense, that's going to be a big difference for them.
Hey, well, we got to roll, but let's do this again in a couple of weeks. We'll be further. We'll see how the start of the second half of the season goes, and we'll see how the Pelicans do in the next couple of weeks. So it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being with me again today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Hey, that was Yaron Weitzman, NBA writer. Good stuff. Talking about the Pelicans, talking about how the second half of the season is shake out, talking about the trade deadline, what the Pelicans might do, who they're looking to move. And he doesn't believe they're going to package any of those draft picks because they're looking for a big fish, which they're not going to get right now. So we'll see how that goes. Again, we're live here. We're 30 more minutes to go. We'll be here for the second half of the show. We got Gary Smith with The Advocate, Glenn Gilbo with Gannett with USA Today coming up. Talking LSU basketball, talking Pelicans as well. Live here from Arno's Restaurant, historic Bucktown on Old Hammond Highway on the South Shore, right off of Lake Pontchartrain. We'll be back right after these messages.
This is Jed Darensberg with DA Exterminating Company. Here's our jingle. Hope it bugs you.
DA Exterminating. The real DA is on the way. Say your home's got fleas or home's got bugs. Crawling in your walls or on your rugs. Say no to bugs. Tell your DA. Pick up the phone. We're on the way. DA Exterminating.
We offer complete pest and termite control featuring the Centricon system. DA Exterminating Company. 800-650-PEST.
DA.
Hi, Saints fans. Mark Roeming, voice of the New Orleans Saints here, and it's official. NOAA Lending Group, a division of Fidelity Bank, is now the proud mortgage lender of your New Orleans Saints. So if you're buying a home or refinancing your existing home, let Southeast Louisiana's local mortgage experts give you the home field advantage. NOAA Lending Group, now the proud mortgage lender of your New Orleans Saints.
NOAA Lending, equal housing lender, member FDIC, NMLS number 488639.
Hi, I'm Mitch Gibbs, and I want to tell you about a great service. Accardo and Lambert Plumbing, 8303 Willow Street in the heart of Uptown New Orleans, 504-866-7162. They've been in the business for over 30 years. They're fully licensed. They'll provide all your gas and plumbing needs. In most cases, same-day service. In addition, they're accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Accardo and Lambert Plumbing, 866-7162. I consider myself a customer.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden signed the $1.9 trillion relief package into law that he says will help the United States defeat the virus and help the economy. The president moving up the signing 2 hours before he's set to deliver his first primetime address about the pandemic. The bill passing with no Republican support in the House or Senate.
It is the largest single spending bill in history. And the only bipartisan vote was the vote against the bill. Not one Republican voted for it. The question is why.
House Minority Leader from California, Kevin McCarthy. Derek Chauvin is now facing a third-degree murder charge. A judge reinstated the charge on Thursday against a former Minneapolis police officer accused of killing George Floyd. Chauvin is also facing second-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter charges. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
Tom Fitzmaurice here with the Edible Dictionary Word of the Day, brought to you by Dornex, just voted one of the Food and Wine Magazine's top 20 regional supermarkets of all time. Today's Edible Dictionary Word is
Creole cream cheese. It's a distinctly local product enjoyed for over 100 years. before suddenly brought to the brink of extinction in the 1980s. The baby boom generation never picked up the habit from their parents, and suddenly the last commercial dairy making Creole cream cheese gave it up. It made a comeback in recent times when the boomers felt nostalgic for the idea, if not the reality. Enough small dairies began making Creole cream cheese that is now easily available again. Good Creole cream cheese has a sour flavor, more pronounced than Philadelphia cream cheese or cottage cheese, which it resembles. In the old days, Creole cream cheese was eaten with fresh fruit, notably strawberries and sugar, as a breakfast item.
The Food Show, right here.
Serving the Gulf South from New Orleans. WGSO, New Orleans News Radio. WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
Are you suffering from neck and back pain due to a recent auto accident? Did you go to the ER only to have them tell you that nothing is wrong? Dr. Stephen Tremuta with Doctors Rehab Services is here to help. Chiropractic care is considered one of the best remedies for whiplash and soft tissue injuries. With 3 metro area locations in Kenner, Mid-City, and the West Bank, Dr. Tremuta makes it easy to start your road to recovery. For more info or a free consultation, call Dr. Tremuta at 504-465-5353.
All right, we're back here live at Arno's, and we'll be here till the top of the hour, till 2 p.m. They're open for lunch still, so you can come on down. The food is unbelievable over here. And everybody knows where they are, in the historic Buckton Old Hammond Highway on the South Shore, right off of Lake Pontchartrain. My next guest has been on with me before, with the advocate Gary Smith. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, so let's start with college basketball, and we'll start with UNO. So they got through round one. They got to win 3 more to get to the tournament for the automatic bid in the Southland Conference. They got by Southeastern Louisiana. They looked a lot better than they did at the home game. So off to a good start. They got to play again today, I believe. I know you said it's going to be tough to win 4 games in 4 days, but, you know, they're not playing Gonzaga, so I guess that's the good news. So what do you think of their chances, at least today or tonight?
Yeah, I think they're going to win tonight. They're playing the best basketball they've been playing all year. They just stomped Southeastern Louisiana after beating them in overtime 4 days earlier. And they're playing Northwestern State, who they beat last week on Wednesday, 8 days ago. And the way UNO's playing right now, I really like their chances. But the problem's going to come in their game, if they win that one, their game tomorrow against Nicholls State. That'll be UNO's 3rd game in 3 days. Nicholls State hadn't played in a week. And a couple of years ago, UNO made a run to the conference finals in this same tournament. And they were playing their 3rd game in 3 days that time, too, against Abilene Christian. And every shot they took was grazing the front of the rim because their legs were tired. And that's what they're going to have to overcome. But hey, they built the way they were playing the first half of the year before they had to take a COVID break. They love to give themselves that opportunity to play Nicholls again in the semifinals and see what happens tomorrow if they get there.
I agree with you. I think that if it was a little different, like you said, if they would have gotten a little higher seed, 3 games instead of 4, because I saw Nicholls State play. I think they can beat them. It's just a war of attrition at this point. LSU will be in the quarterfinals playing the winner of South Carolina and Ole Miss. I think they're going to win that game. And then they move to the semifinals probably against Arkansas. And I think that's a huge game for LSU because if they don't beat Arkansas, they're probably an 8 seed. If they beat Arkansas, I think they move up to at least 7.
Yep.
And so if they get to the finals, 7 or 6, and that makes a big difference because then you don't have to face a 1 or 2 seed until the Sweet 16. So you think that's an accurate analysis of where we see LSU in the SEC tournament?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes these tournaments don't mean a whole lot for teams that have already had great years. But LSU needs to prove to themselves, forget their fans, they need to prove to themselves that they can back up good performances. I agree with you, they should be able to win and get to the semifinals. They have not proven that they're good enough to beat a team like Arkansas in that type of a situation, but this is the time to do it. Get to that semifinal, and then if they beat Arkansas, they're in the conference championship game. that's doing something. That's telling people that they are a threat to do some damage in the NCAA tournament. And I feel like I don't feel like they've built up a ton of confidence in themselves the way they played this year with their inconsistencies. And yeah, I think that would, if they get to that game, I think that would be a huge game for them, because Arkansas is one of the hottest teams in the country, probably one of the top 10. They're playing one of the top, they're one of the top 10 teams in the country the way they're playing right now. Beating them would be a huge statement for LSU, not only going to the NCAA tournament, but obviously would then give them a real chance to win the FCC tournament, and those things don't come very often.
Yeah, I would say LSU's an 8. If they get to the finals, 6. And if they win the SEC, I'll give them a 5. We'll see. I'm guessing on that. We'll never know if they don't make it that far. But all right, so the other thing I want to ask you is, so I was, of course, did the Sun Belt. I want to thank them. And really, it was great being in Pensacola and going to the beach and all that stuff. But on the way there, I stopped and made a wager. I was looking for a long shot in the college basketball tournament, in the national championship tournament. And I found a team that I think will be a 2-seed. They're projected right now as a 2-seed. And they're known for football, but they were 20-1. And I bet Alabama to win. I know it's going to be tough, but I get them at 20-1. They're a 2-seed probably, which means they should not have to face somebody better than them until at least the Elite Eight. That gives them a chance. It gives them the chance to build the confidence. So anyway, I think they're probably the best team still in the SEC, so we'll see. But I'm just getting your thoughts on that. I think Alabama at 20-1 is a value bet.
Yeah, I'm skeptical just because of their history. I mean, I covered the SEC when Alabama was really good under Whip Sanderson in the late 80s and early 90s. And when they had Latrell Sprewell, Robert Horry, and James Hollywood Robinson on their same team and couldn't get past the Sweet 16 with those guys, there's always been a ceiling. They've never made the Final Four in program history. This is certainly one of the best teams they've ever had. So might as well take a flyer on them. They've certainly at times this year played like a team that could make the Final Four. They haven't maintained that level, but when they hit their high points, they're a very, very dangerous team.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, look, it's I gave up on doing those pools where you pick the whole thing. Let's just pick. Virginia was my other team. I was interested at 25-1, but they just won 2 or 3 years ago, and I just don't see it. I think Alabama's more of a higher ceiling team. All right, so in the NBA, Zion didn't play the last home game for the break. I think he had like a toe issue or something like that. So they lost 2 in a row. They're 15-21. Just had Yaron Weitzman on, who covers the NBA from a national perspective. He's telling me that realistically, Redick may be the only guy that they move. And I suggested, why not throw in a – because I don't think you're going to get a lot of value for Redick, but why not throw in one of those late first-round picks? And he says he doesn't think the Pelicans are going to do it because they're saving those for the big fish. I don't know if the Pelicans can land a big fish. Look at Blake Griffin. I mean, these are older guys, but they're name guys. LaMarcus Aldridge, they're not coming to New Orleans. So what are your thoughts? Do you think that the Pelicans should consider trying to spice up a package and try to get something going in the second half of the season? Or you just think it's going to be J.J. Redick and that's it?
Yeah, well, we've talked before. I kind of agree. I think it is going to be J.J. Redick and that's it. But I do think they should do more than that because what they have isn't working. But they've got pieces that can work with the right guys around them. And if I'm them, I'm all in. If I can get a good deal, I agree with you. I'd package a first-round pick. Maybe that doesn't work out now, but it's not okay. I know they're young, I know they're developing, but it's not okay for them to have the record that they have. They should be better than that, but the reality is they haven't been better than that because, as we've talked many times before, they just don't play any defense. That's not just about talent, that's about commitment. And for whatever reason, with the mix of players they have right now, they're just not getting it done.
Yeah, the problem with that, too, is I agree with you, but the problem is, I think you would agree with me, usually when you make a trade to before the trade deadline, usually looking for offense. And so the Pelicans need that because they need three-point shooters, but they need help defensively unless these guys are going to play magically better defense. So that's my concern. But Lonzo Ball supposedly is off the – look, Lonzo Ball has had games where I thought he's looked pretty good, and then the games he's not looked good at all. And I don't think Lonzo Ball really wants to be in New Orleans in the future. So I'm thinking – why not make the move? But maybe he fits well with Zion, that some people think that. So I don't know. I mean, you know, but like you said, Gary, they're not going to get to that next level with this roster. We know that.
Nope. Yeah, even once they play together, we've seen enough of them to know. Of course, they'll get better, but the roster is presently constructed. They're not going to go far, and I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about next year too. They have to have some new pieces down the road because what they have right now isn't good enough.
Well, and I'll add one more thing before I let you go. That I generally think that late first round picks and maybe second round picks are so, you got to get so lucky. You can do the great research and all that stuff, and you might be brilliant, but you just got to get lucky to find a guy that's going to be a major player, like a starter or a great bench player with a late first round pick or second round pick. So I'd rather get the proven product and get rid of those first. That's
I agree. Those late round picks, occasionally teams hit on them, and then you see all those things about, look at all these guys that were taken before that guy. Yeah, there were a lot of smart people out there that just didn't realize the player that taken late in round was going to develop that way, because sometimes you simply don't know, and the odds are stacked against you. I don't care if you're the greatest talent evaluator in the history of basketball. It's hard to project once you get down near the in the NBA, once you get down at the bottom of the first round, and you use the exact right word. You have to get lucky.
Right, and there's no question about it. It's like gambling. I mean, you can be the greatest gambler, like you know all the stats and all that stuff, but you need to know how to bet. You have to. Those luck is more important, as the saying says. But anyway, thanks for joining me, Gary. We'll talk to you in the next week or two, and have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thanks. That was Gary Smith. Good stuff, and with the Advocate. And we're going to take our final break. We're live here, of course, at Arno's every Thursday, 1 to 2 for the lunch crowd. Great crowd. The food's incredible here. Everybody knows where they are. Historic Bucktown, Old Hammond Highway on the doorstep of the Lake Pontchartrain on the South Shore. We're going to be back with Glenn Gilbo talking college basketball with the Gannett and the USA Today. He's always been great with us and always shares some insights as to what's going on the world of LSU basketball. So we'll be back with more of the show live here from Arno's Restaurant on Old Hammond Highway, Zurich Buckton in the paint, right after these messages.
The following is a paid endorsement.
He's a man of integrity. Want to be attorney.
Choosing your attorney can be a life-changing decision. Chip Forstall has over 28 years of experience, giving you the personal attention that you need. If you or a loved one has been injured, you need a lawyer to protect you, your family, and work to get compensation for your injuries. Contact the law office of Chip Forstall today, located at 320 North Carrollton Avenue, New Orleans, or call us at 483-3400. That's 483-3400. Or log on to www.chipforstall.com today. You need caring, aggressive, and effective representation. You need personal attention. You need Chip Forstall.
Chip Forstall. Chip Forstall. He knows the law. Chip Forstall.
Before you pay that other pest control company their, quote, home of the $650 termite treatment protection plan, call DA. I'm Jed Derensburg with DA Exterminating, and I bet we can beat that price. We offer different treatment methods featuring the Centricon bait system, and we have one of the best termite protection plans in the country. Before you pay $650 to another company, call DA. New Orleans metro area, North Shore and Houma. DA Exterminating, complete pest and termite control services since 1959. Call 800-650-PEST.
Are you suffering from neck and back pain due to a recent auto accident? Did you go to the ER only to have them tell you that nothing is wrong? Dr. Stephen Tremuta with Doctors Rehab Services is here to help. Chiropractic care is considered one of the best remedies for whiplash and soft tissue injuries. With three metro area locations in Kenner, Mid-City, and the West Bank, Dr. Tremuta makes it easy to start your road to recovery. For more info or a free consultation, call Dr. Tremuta at 504-465-5353.
Hi, Saints fans. Mark Roaming, voice of the New Orleans Saints here, and it's official. NOLA Lending Group, a division of Fidelity Bank, is now the proud mortgage lender of your New Orleans Saints. So if you're buying a home or refinancing your existing home, let Southeast Louisiana's local mortgage experts give you the home field advantage. NOLA Lending Group, now the proud mortgage lender of your New Orleans Saints.
NOLA Lending, equal housing lender, member FDIC, NMLS number 488639.
Hi, I'm Mitch Gibbs, and I want to tell you about a great service. Accardo and Lambert Plumbing, 8303 Willow Street in the heart of Uptown New Orleans, 504-866-7162. They've been in the business for over 30 years. They're fully licensed. They'll provide all your gas and plumbing needs. In most cases, same-day service. In addition, they're accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Accardo and Lambert Plumbing, 866-7162. I consider myself a customer.
Hey, folks, this is Jeff Cruer. Join me at 7 a.m. till 11 right here on WGSO, 990 a.m. or Ringside, Politics with a Punch. We're going to be bringing you great guests. We'll discuss the latest hot topics and, of course, taking your phone calls. On Thursday, Colonel Alan West joins us. We'll talk about what's going on with the national political scene, and we'll discuss the hot topics of the day with Ringside All-Star Josh Bernstein and unveil our new Ringside Politics parody of the week. All of that and more right here on Ringside from 7 to 11 on WGSO.
All right, final segment live here at Arno's in historic Buckton, Old Hammond Highway here. A great lunch crowd here. They're still open for lunch, so if you get in here in the next 15 minutes, you can have a great lunch. Food's unbelievable here. Let's get to my next guest, final guest of the afternoon. He's been with us on many times before we connect news service, Glenn Gilbo. Glenn, welcome back to the show.
Dude, I love R&O's, man. That's one of my favorite spots.
Well, you got to come live and get some food over here. But I'm here every Thursday, so we got through May, so I got 2.5 more months or so. I'll be here every Thursday. So
I'm there.
Okay. We'll figure it out. We'll work it out. But, hey, I want to ask you, this is my prediction, and I just talked to a previous guest. If LSU, I'm going to give LSU the first game, I think, whether it's Ole Miss, South Carolina, they win that game, they're an 8 seed. If they beat Arkansas in the semis, they're a 6 seed. And if they win in the finals, they're a 5th seed going into the tournament. So they can, to me, they go from an 8 to a 5 if they win the SEC tournament. So what do you think? Does that sound like I got it right on that?
Yeah. If they would somehow lose the opener, that's going to be to a low net team. So they could drop from a 7 to an 8 or to a 9. But if they win that first game, they'll stay about where they are, which is, I've seen, a 7. They're not going to get any points for winning the opener. But if they beat Arkansas has got a high net. They're the number 2 seed. You know, that on a neutral site, that would be a win that could really lift them. And, you know, even if they lose the tournament championship game, because that'll be to a high net. But if they win that too, yeah, you know, I don't think they'll get as high as a 5. I think the highest they could be would be a 6.
Okay. I just say if they win the SEC tournament, I could put them at a 5. But it's so important that they even just to get to the finals, to me, would be important, because you get away from having to worry about dealing with a 1 or 2 seed until at least the Sweet 16. So I think that if they get to a 6 or a 5, 6 would be great. I mean, you know, they couldn't ask for anything else. But the problem is if they beat Ole Miss or South Carolina, let's say they do end up an 8 seed and they lose to Arkansas, then you could face a Gonzaga or a Baylor in the second round. That's a problem, I think, because I think those are the two best teams in the country. And then it could be an early tournament for LSU. So I think this – you know, they always say that the tournament is for getting in to the big tournament or for seeding. This is huge. I think this is a huge tournament for LSU to get higher up, as high as possible, to give themselves, you know, like a fighting chance to, you know, to make a run in the tournament. I bet, I was Glenn, I told my last guest, I bet Alabama, because I had to go through the Beau Rivage to do the Sun Belt thing last week. And I got 20-1 on Alabama. I know that's Alabama's a long shot, but 20-1 wasn't bad odds. But who do you think is the best team in the SEC? Who's got the best shot to make a real big run in the tournament from the SEC?
Well, I think Alabama, Arkansas, and LSU, I think you got to look at the seedings this way, too. LSU is a bear for Gonzaga or Baylor or any of the other top seeds in a second-round game. That helps LSU because there's less time to prepare. And I think Wade's players have an advantage when teams can't prepare for him as much. Because he's not great at preparation. You know, he kind of wins on his player talent, and he has a lot of it, but it's up and down and inconsistent. You know, they just lost to Georgia a couple weeks ago. But if you could play Gonzaga or Baylor 2 days after they've already played, LSU's got the talent that they can beat teams like that. I mean, they should have beat Texas Tech this year. You know, they beat a hot Tennessee team earlier. I think LSU's a very dangerous team for a high seed in the second round.
Well, I think they're a dangerous team. I just would like them to have a better draw. I was at both the Tennessee and Auburn games. I thought they looked great. They looked like a Sweet 16 team those 2 weeks, and then you come back and you see some of these other games, and they don't look as good. You know, right. It's like a lot of teams, so they're not real consistent. But if they peak at the right time, which would mean if they roll through the SEC tournament, even if they're losing the finals, then you've got to say they're playing their best basketball. So, but I agree with you. They are a dangerous team, and we've seen year after year a team that's like somewhat of a sleeper with talent that can make a big run in the tournament.
Right, and I think it's a better chance for an upset to happen after 2 days after a game instead of the next weekend. You know what I'm saying? Like
right,
the first
right.
round from Thursday or Friday, I think that second round game, because of the lack of preparation for the favorite, I think you got more of a chance of the element of surprise there.
Yeah, you know, right. You make that's a fair point, because if LSU has to play a Baylor or a Gonzaga in the Sweet 16, then there's like 3 or 4 days, right? There's Sunday
yeah.
to Thursday maybe, or Saturday to Thursday, or Sunday to Friday before they would play again when they have the break until the Sweet 16. That's a good point. Either way, it's going to be tough. I think Gonzaga looks really good. I still think Baylor, if it was Baylor and Gonzaga, I think I'd lean towards Baylor. I think Baylor's a better team. They've lost, one game off of like a two-week COVID issue. But we'll see. I just think those are the two best teams in the country. Is there any other teams that you like that from the SEC besides the LSUs, Alabama, Arkansas, that gets in the tournament that could make a run?
Well, and the other thing to finish the previous point is that you got to, if you're going to make it to the Final Four, you got to play a high seed at some point. You know, so maybe sometimes it can be better to get them out of the way early. Then thus you play a lower, you know, a worse team later. But no, I think the SEC, after LSU, Arkansas, and Alabama, I think Tennessee is pretty good, but they've been slipping lately. And that's about it. You know, I don't know if they're going to get more than 3 or 4 in the tournament. I don't see that.
So they might only get 3, right? So they might, these might be the only 3, unless one of those teams makes a run in the tournament, I guess, would be the only way they get in.
They'll get 4. I think they'll get 4. Tennessee, LSU, Arkansas, and Alabama. I don't think anybody other than 4, unless those 4, unless somebody else wins the tournament.
Besides the big name teams like, you know, I guess Michigan, Baylor, Gonzaga, maybe Illinois, is there a team outside the SEC, because we've talked about the SEC, that you think, you know, if you were a wagering man, would be a sleeper? Outside the SEC, that's not one of the top 4 seeds.
Texas Tech. Texas Tech's got a pretty good team. They were in Baton Rouge. I like them. I'm not sure after that.
Yeah. I'll leave you with this. The Pelicans. We've been talking a little bit about the Pelicans after the All-Star break trade deadline. Probably J.J. Redick. If you were advising the Pelicans, what do you think they need to do in the second half of the season? Do you think they just need to trade J.J. Redick, see how it plays out, and then move to next year and see if they can make some moves with those first-round picks? Or what do you think they should do?
Well, big picture with the Pelicans, they always only have one great player. You know, Chris Paul, then it was Eyebrow, and now it's His name escapes me.
Well, I think Ingram is – well, they got Ingram and Zion, I guess you could say. The
Zion, yeah, Zion. But it seems like they always only have one great player. And,
right.
And you know, and they never can fill the pieces around them. You know, I mean,
right.
it's not been a successful franchise. I think they've, what, won one playoff series? So
right, one.
They just, you know, they've got to quit going one at a time on their roster and get right. another stud player.
Right. Hey, Garrett, Glenn, we got to roll, but let's do it again in the next couple of weeks. Thanks for joining me. Have a great week. I'll talk to you soon. We got to roll. Thanks, everybody, all our great guests. I want to thank Henry back in the studio, Yaron Weitzman, Gary Smith, and Glenn Gilbo, and, of course, all the great people who let me do this show every Thursday at lunchtime at Arno's in Historic Bucktown. We'll be back next week live Thursday with another great show.
The following is a paid endorsement.
He's a man of integrity. Want to be attorney.
Choosing your attorney can be a life-changing decision. Chip Forstall has over 28 years of experience giving you the personal attention that you need. If you or a loved one has been injured, you need a lawyer to protect you, your family, and work to get compensation for your injuries. Contact the law office of Chip Forstall today.